Okay, good morning. Today we are going to discuss the Isser of Hachana, which means to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos needs. Now, although officially this is supposed to be a Lamatas Malachos class, but I figured we're able to just go off a little bit from the Lamatas Malachos, since it is something that takes part in the kitchen, and it's something that the women are usually in charge of. It's hard enough to get the men to wash the dishes. So it's something in the kitchen, the washing dishes, and in general about preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos. And then, like I said, at the end of the class, I just want to take 5 or 10 minutes just to clarify a few things from the previous weeks, make sure there's no misconceptions, misunderstandings, and we'll work from there. So the Isser, the problem of Hachana, of preparing for after Shabbos, that is an Isser Midrabanan. That's something that's prohibited on a rabbinic level. It's not forbidden according to a Deraisa level, the Torah level, but it is preparing for after Shabbos is considered like a disgrace to the Shabbos that I'm taking care of my after Shabbos needs on Shabbos. This Avera of this forbidden act of Hachana is really also a subcategory of what we call Tircha. Tircha means bother, a bothersome act that a person does on Shabbos. And as you know, like the classic example is that you're not allowed to clean out your garage on Shabbos. I mean, even if you have an Erev and you're not touching anything Muksa or anything like that, but that's considered a bother, too much of a bother on Shabbos. So the problem of Hachana, of preparing for after Shabbos, is like a subcategory of that. Meaning, even if I'm doing something that's really not much of a bother, but since it's for after Shabbos, so then that's considered a bother that you're doing on Shabbos that we don't let. Even though it's a small bother, I'm just preparing my clothes that I'm going to wear to the Mlava Malka tonight, but that's considered a bother that's unnecessary on Shabbos because it's for after Shabbos, and that's all part of something that's forbidden on a Derabbanan level, on a rabbinic level, because that's considered a disgrace for Shabbos. Now this is forbidden even if you're not doing a malacha, even if you're not doing something that's forbidden, like the example we just said. Let's say you plan on going to Mlava Malka tonight after Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos afternoon, so you just want to take out your clothes and put them on the bed because this way the clothes will be prepared. So that's preparing for after Shabbos. So that's not allowed. Even though I didn't do anything forbidden as far as the Lama Test Malachos, I didn't do anything wrong, I just took the clothes out of the drawer, but that's forbidden because that's preparing for after Shabbos. So we're going to start with washing dishes, which dishes are allowed to be washed, which dishes are not allowed to be washed. Maybe perhaps one or two other halachos as far as washing dishes on Shabbos, and then we'll get to other halachos of preparing, like clearing the table for Shalosh Shudas and getting your kids in pajamas before Havdalah, and then we'll move on to those other few things we want to touch. So the rule is that you're not allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos for dishes that you're not going to need anymore on this Shabbos. I'm going to use these dishes after Shabbos. The next time I need them is for after Shabbos. We paskin, even if you're going to use these dishes the next Shabbos, exactly 1 week later. So you would think, in a way, it's Shabbos for Shabbos. But we paskin, that's also not allowed. Anytime you're allowed to wash dishes, it's only if you need it for this actual Shabbos. So the classic example is, I'm allowed to wash dishes Friday night if I need these dishes for Shabbos day. So let's discuss a few of those halachos. Let's say I used all 12 of my dishes Friday night. So I need my dishes for Shabbos day. So if I need all 12 dishes Shabbos day, so for sure I'm allowed to wash all 12. The halacha is that if I use, let's say, all 12 Friday night, even if I only need two of them Shabbos day, let's say I have lots of guests Friday night, but I'm just having, you know, just a basic family Shabbos day. So all I need is two or four. I don't need all 12 dishes. How many of them am I allowed to wash? So the halacha is you are allowed to wash all 12. Okay? And the reason is that since on each and every plate, each and every dish, or each and every fork, each and every spoon, I'm allowed to say, this is the one that tomorrow I'm going to use. I may end up using this plate tomorrow. So the halacha is that I'm allowed to wash all 12. Okay, so again, I washed, or let's say I used all 12, let's keep it simple for a second, all 12, all I need is 4 tomorrow, I'm allowed to wash all 12. Let's say a different case, let's say I own 12 dishes, and I used only 4 Friday night, and tomorrow, I also need 4, because I didn't have any guests tonight, I'm not having any guests tomorrow, all I need is 4 and 4. So what's the halacha? Am I allowed to wash these 4 dishes? Or do I say, wait, why in the world should I wash these 4 dishes? Let me use 4 of my other 8 dishes that I didn't use yet. So over there it's a machlokas. Over there we say that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you are allowed, most poskim do say that you can wash these 4, even though I could really use other 4, and really I'm just helping myself, that after Shabbos, I'm not going to have 8 dishes to wash. I'll only have 4 dishes to wash. I'm really preparing for after Shabbos in a way, because now I'm working ahead of time that it may limit my work that I need to do on Matzah Shabbos. Many Paiskim do say that you're still allowed to wash these 4, and I don't have to worry about the fact that I have other 4 dishes in the cabinet. However, there are plenty of Paiskim that say that it's considered a nice thing to not wash these 4 dishes, and to instead use the other 4 dishes that are totally clean. So practically, which one should you do? I cannot tell you that you're not allowed to wash those 4 dishes. That many Paiskim do say that, most Paiskim say that that is permitted. However, there are a few Paiskim that say, Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Vosner, they say that it's preferable. They say it's like a Midas Chasidus, which is considered something extra. It is extra to not wash these dishes. It's something nice. Listen, if it's not a big deal to you to wash, it's only a difference of a few dishes on Matzah Shabbos, so then it would be a good thing to hold back, and instead of washing these dishes tonight, instead use the clean dishes that you have, and to just use the clean dishes. If you have other dishes that are more fancy, meaning let's say I only use my special china when we have special guests. So we're not having any special guests to Shabbos. I'm just using my regular Shabbos dishes or my regular fleishik dishes. So am I allowed to, do I have to not wash these dishes in any case? Am I not allowed to wash these dishes? Don't say, why should I wash these dishes and prepare for after Shabbos, get a head start? Let me use my fancy china. But the answer is you don't have to. If you're not interested in using those fancy china dishes, because I only use that on special occasions for special simchas or for special guests, so then you're not obligated to go start using other types of dishes. You're allowed to use the regular types of dishes, meaning also, let's say, by spoons. There's 2 types of spoons. The spoons, that bigger spoons that we use for soup, and then the smaller spoons, teaspoons that we use for tea or for dessert. So you're not obligated to start eating your soup. Okay, most people don't have soup Shabbos day anyway, but a similar type of example, you're not obligated to use the other type of spoon and not wash these types of spoons. You're allowed to use the regular size spoons that you want to use and the regular size forks that you're allowed to that you want to use. If you used up all your big forks Friday night, so you're not obligated whatsoever to use your small forks the next day for the chont and for the chicken, you could wash the big forks because those are the big forks that you want for the next day. Rinsing and soaking. Let's say, until now we were discussing actually washing the dishes, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, that a lot of times, let's say Friday night, you'll have a dish and you used it for chrein, or for honey, let's say it's shana, you have some honey, or for some type of gravy, or on the bottom of a becher, you have the wine or the grape juice, and if it leaves out till, several hours, till after Shabbos, it's going to get hard and sticky. So I don't want to wash it. Let's say I don't need it again this Shabbos, so I'm not going to wash it. But let's say I just want to rinse it just to make sure that it doesn't get harder to wash after Shabbos, just to save me that extra effort, because I know that if I leave this chrein the rest of the afternoon till Matzah Shabbos, or I leave this gravy or something, it's going to get greasy and hard and it's going to be very difficult to wash on Matzah Shabbos. So is that considered preparing for after Shabbos? So again, there's a machlokus over there. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that it is allowed, because he says that's not considered you're preparing for after Shabbos. I'm just preventing it from making it harder for me. Meaning, right now, it's not a big deal to wash it, but I know if I leave this chrein dish over till tonight, it's going to get hard, and it's going to be much harder to wash. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's not considered preparing for after Shabbos, getting a head start on your after Shabbos needs. That's just considered as if I'm preventing it from making it harder. However, the Ar Paiskim that are very strong against this, and they say that no, that's also preparing for after Shabbos, and right now you can't do anything to it, you can't even rinse it off, you can't turn on the faucet to rinse it off, because you are helping yourself for after Shabbos. So again, I'm not here to decide, that's not my job over here to decide who's right and who's wrong between Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and all the other Paiskim. All I'm telling you is that that is a big issue, it's a big discussion in the Paiskim. Listen, if you could hold back from doing it, definitely you could hold back from doing it. If you see somebody else doing it, definitely you do not have to scream at them, and definitely don't have to stop them. If your husband really, really wants you to do it, I've already had a few complaints from husbands that I'm ruining their Shabbos, that their sodas are flat, and they can't use tea bags, and which I want to clarify when I get to the end of the share a few of those things. But again, if it's something who's really important to you, let's say you're by your parents or by your in-laws, and they're not aware of these halachas. So these type of halachas, as far as washing the first 4 dishes, or soaking something that this way it just doesn't get harder to clean after Shabbos, you definitely don't have to stop them from doing it. But for your own good, I'm letting you know that it's not so simple, and there are plenty of places that say not to. If it doesn't make so much of a difference for you, Hashem will be very happy if you hold back from doing it. However, let me just say one thing, which it could be some of you are going to raise, because I know you're all very knowledgeable. There are two ways that the place can say that you could avoid this issue in the first place, as far as like the chrein getting very hard, or the wine on the wine or the grape juice on the bottom of the bercha. And that's the following two ways. What you're allowed to do is the following. Anyways, I'm not going to leave it there on the table. I want to put it in the sink or somewhere. So I'll put it in the sink. And then when we wash Netilas Yadayim, let's say for Shal Shudis or tomorrow morning by Shabbos Day, the water would automatically fall on those dishes, on those cups, and that automatically will help, that little rinse off, and that'll make it easier for me after Shabbos. So people can say that is allowed because I'm not doing any extra effort for the purpose of after Shabbos. I'm just placing it in the sink, which is a normal thing to do. I'm allowed to place it in the sink. And I'm not obligated to wash my hands, or just stop to wash my hands, or wash some fruits and vegetables, or whatever I'm doing, however I turn on the sink anyway, I'm not obligated to do it on the other side of the sink. I put it in the sink, the water could automatically fall on those dishes, on those utensils, on the cups, and then that'll help me for after Shabbos. That's one etza, that's one advice that the place can say you can do. Another idea is, what you could do is put a, either from before Shabbos or something that's there already, you can't go and do it, but to put like a pan of water, either soapy water, if the soap is there from before Shabbos, or just a pan of water, and then when you put the items into the sink, you'll place it into that bowl or the pan of water, and then automatically some of the grease, some of it will be, I'm sorry? So if you go make a special act and put a pot of water in the bowl, in the sink, and you specifically go ahead and fill it up with water, you're right, you didn't gain anything. But if there happened to be a pot of water there before, or like from before Shabbos, like they say to put it there from before Shabbos ready, and you could even add soap if it happens to be there, right? Let's say there's a bowl in the sink. Let's say there's already a salad bowl in the sink. So where could I put my cups? So instead of putting it outside the bowl, I'll put it inside the bowl. I'm going to have to put it down anywhere, so that's not considered an extra act. And then the water will go in the bowl, it will fill up, and those utensils will be already in the bowl. You can't do any special act for the purpose of after Shabbos. Again, for the rinsing, there are those that say, anyways, you're allowed to do it. But if we're going to try and be a little bit strict and not do the extra act for that, so if the bowl is already there from before, if the pan is already there from before, you could let the water fill it up automatically. Don't turn on the faucet special for that, like you said. But if you're turning on the water anyway, so then you could put the utensils in it, and then the water will fill up automatically. That'll happen automatically.
Put the soap in the pot before Shabbos? Like you put soap in the pot before Shabbos?
Yeah, if you put the soap there before Shabbos. Yeah, anything from before Shabbos, something like that, you know, you're allowed to do it. The malacha didn't start before Shabbos.
Obviously included in all this is rinsing to put in the dishwasher? Like when you
right, same idea, right. If you know that the dishwasher is not going to do such a good job, if the chrein is like so hard stuck to it by the time you turn it on Matzah Shabbos, so just before I put it in the dishwasher, I want to rinse it off. It's the same exact halacha. Some say it's totally mutter, and well, the truth is, you know, as far as the dishwasher, yeah, I guess you're making it easier. Yeah, I would imagine it would be the same halacha, that there are those that would say that it's totally permitted because it's just making it easier for after Shabbos. But again, there are those that would say to hold back. Yeah.
Okay, so someone told me once that silver items, like a becher or like a, let's say silverware, especially because food gets stuck on it, that if the chemicals in the food stay on the silver, it could be ruined.
Okay.
Is it permitted to sit and soak it in like water and soap?
So what we need to discuss still is, and this if this is true by the silverware, I'm not mumcha in that, but if it's true, then we have to discuss things that are going to get spoiled. Am I allowed to put something back in the refrigerator that's going to get spoiled? Am I allowed to take something in from the rain that's going to get ruined? So if it's something that legitimately is going to get ruined, meaning let's say it's Friday night, it's going to be a full 24 hours that it's sitting on it, or even if you're telling me that it could happen even from a few hours, then something that's going to get ruined, we're going to see soon that would be permitted. If it's legitimately going to get ruined, then yeah, then it's considered not that you're preparing for after Shabbos, you're considered that you're saving it, you know, right now. So then yeah, if that's true, then that would also be permitted. Yeah.
When you put the soap in the pot before Shabbos, don't you also have to put the water in there also?
Yeah, you would have to put the water there also. Unless you turning on the water anyways on Shabbos to wash your hands or something like that, then you're not considered as if you turned on the water special for that.
Okay, and the other thing I just wanted to mention is that there's a whole big thing with dishwashers. Sometimes when you open them and then close them, that resets the cycle. You have to be really careful with dishwashers.
Oh, okay, fine. Anything that's going to happen electronically, if you open or close the dishwasher, definitely any lights that go on and off, for sure, you know,
you
would have to be
lights,
careful.
Even, you wouldn't even know it, but
for sure.
Cycles.
Okay. Another halacha that, as far as washing dishes, and this is true in many facets of hachana, of preparing for after Shabbos, which we'll see soon, is, let's say, and this could be that applies to all of you, it doesn't apply to me, but if just the dishes, just dirty dishes in the sink, just like really, really bother me. I know my mother, for sure, it cannot sit there for more than 5 minutes, dirty dishes in the sink. That's, you know, she's very organized and she's great with that. So something that honestly bothers you in the sink, even if it's in the sink, it really bothers you, then the halach is that you're allowed to wash those dishes on Shabbos. And the reason is, as you could understand, because that's not that I'm preparing for after Shabbos. I'm not getting a head start on the after Shabbos needs. But these dishes, the dirty dishes in the sink, really, really bother me. And if it really bothers me, then this is a need that I need, that I'm doing for Shabbos itself. Also, if it's going to attract bugs. Now, in America, I'm not sure if that's so common. It could be, you know, some people have problems. And at any given time, if you haven't called the exterminator yet, and you know that if you're going to leave dirty dishes in the sink, it's going to attract bugs. So that definitely detracts from the pleasantness of Shabbos. And then that is considered not as if I'm helping myself for after Shabbos, but that is helping me on Shabbos itself, because I don't want to attract the bugs. Hold on 1 second. If it's something that just bothers you just the way it looks and you just don't want it out, and either whether it bothers yourself or because you're having guests coming over and you know you don't want the guests to see all the dirty dishes, it's not pleasant, so you may not be able to wash the dishes. Perhaps you could just put them away somewhere. Now, where are you going to put dirty dishes? Perhaps you could put them in a dishwasher, meaning, let's say there's no problems as far as electronically, but you could put them away. This way it's out of sight, out of mind. The guests are not going to see it. I'm not embarrassed anymore. And let's say no bugs are gonna get to it. So keep in mind that you're only allowed to do what is necessary for Shabbos itself, not for after Shabbos. If all it is that it bothers me the way it looks, so perhaps, you know, the chon pot, where do we put the chon pot after the Shabbos? Amen. My wife puts it in the oven. The oven is not mukzah. I mean, it's a klish melach delisser, which you're allowed to use. It's our guf on the mukomo, something that we discussed by talking about scissors. So you're allowed to put it away, something that's out of sight. And then, you know, after Shabbos, you'll take it out and you'll remove it. Just keep in mind that you're allowed to do what's necessary for Shabbos itself. And the Pesukim say that's considered as if it's for Shabbos itself. It bothers me the way it looks. It bothers me that the guests are going to see it, or it's going to attract bugs or something like that.
Really? Can I wash the chon pot if it bothers me?
If it really bothers you that the chon pot is dirty, then yeah.
Or the smell, right?
So again, the smell, okay, but keep in mind, again, if it's just only the smell, if you put it in the dishwasher, in the dishwasher or in the oven, and the smell would be stopped like that, then that's all that's necessary. If really, the only thing that bothers you is the smell. If you could accomplish it in a different way, you're not obligated to go, you know, put it in your backyard underneath the swing set. You know, I don't think that, you know, I accomplished it. But I think that's out of hand. I'm saying, but to put something away that could get rid of the smell or to hold back the smell, then, you know, that's the only thing that would be permitted.
What,
yeah.
Putting water in it so that it's easier to wash for after.
Okay, so you came late. I'm sorry I keep on doing this to you, but we discussed that before. No problem at all. We'll discuss it, I believe, either right after this year. Okay,
let's go. Before you put them in the dishwasher, you're allowed to rinse them off?
So the same idea. If it's the same idea, if it's allowed to do it for yourself, you're allowed to do it for the dishwasher. And we said, as far as rinsing afterwards, there are those that say it's okay, there are those that say it's better to hold back. I'll explain to you the details afterwards, okay?
What about, like, if you have food that's left over and you know, like, you're not going to use this after Shabbos?
Okay, so if it's going, we have to discuss if it's going to get spoiled, something that she had touched upon before, if something's going to get ruined or spoiled. And if not, then we also have to discuss as far as cleaning the table for Shalosh Shabbos. Right now, I just want to just focus on the washing dishes, and then we're going to get to other halachot. Yeah.
When you put in you can put in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Even from Friday night, you're not going to use the dishes again. You have to put it immediately, like
right. So that's true. So if somebody else clears, right. So that's another halacha, that if it's placed on the counter and it doesn't bother you that it's on the counter, you don't care how it looks or anything like that, so why are you putting in a dishwasher? Because this way, after Shabbos, it's already there, and it's a head start for after Shabbos. Then you're right, you're not allowed to do that. But if I need the counter space because I need to prepare the meal tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning, so then that's something that I need, so I need it away. Now I'm allowed to move it from the countertop. Once I need to move it from the countertop, then I'm allowed to put it wherever I want, and if I could put it, I'm allowed to put it in the dishwasher. But yeah, the best will be to have it open ready from before. You clear straight from the table, straight into the dishwasher. Something that we discussed, those who were here for Borer, is that in general, as far as putting things in the dishwasher, you have to be careful as far as Borer. If you have a whole mixture of plates and silverware, and then you sort them into the dishwasher, so then that's not allowed, because you're sorting them into the dishwasher for later use. And we said for Borer that it's only permitted if it's for immediate use, and the good from the bad, and you know, by your hands. So this is by your hands, and this is considered, you know, you're putting out where you want to put everything, but in the dishwasher it's for later use. So you're not allowed to sort them. If you have a whole stack of forks, knives, and spoons, and if you put in your dishwasher the forks, the knives, and the spoons in separate sections, I don't, but if you put it separate sections, so then that's considered borer for a later use, because it's for after Shabbos. So that's not allowed. The best way to do it is to clear the table one by one. This way there's no mixture. You take may take a few extra minutes, but don't make a mixture in your hand, and then it's when you sort it into the dishwasher, if that's the way you set up your dishwasher, and that'll be a problem for Borer, because that's for later use. Yeah.
If it bothers you because it bothers you, or it bothers you because guests are coming, better to try to conceal it. And if you can't, then wash it,
if it's just a question of concealing it, so then the best would be to try to conceal it. Do as little as you can to take care of that problem. But if there's nowhere else to put it, and the only way to do it is to wash it and put it away, then you're allowed to. Then you're allowed to, because that's considered a legitimate Shabbos need. It's not considered preparing for after Shabbos. Okay, last question, then we have to move on.
Is it true that Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a tshuva pat in terms of soaking it, that it should be for shalom bayis between a husband and wife?
I don't recall that Rav Moshe talks about it. I mean, I'm sure Rav Moshe talks about shalom bayis and many issues. It could be he does. I'm not. The research that I did as far as this question, as far as soaking it and this way, the way it looks, and if the wife doesn't like it or the husband doesn't like it, I don't know offhand of a tshuva of Rav Moshe. I'm not saying that he doesn't, just saying that I'm not aware of it. Okay, I'd have to do research into that. Just a few other halachos as far as washing dishes. A few of which I'm sure a lot of you know already. Of course, you can't use a bar of soap. I'm sure probably for dishes anyways, you wouldn't plan on using a bar of soap. We use liquid soap. Most places can say you're allowed to use liquid soap for washing your hands and for dishes. There are those that say it's better to water it down before Shabbos. If you can, great. If not, the place can say you are able to use liquid soap for your hands and for dishes in general. Sponges, I'm sure you all know, you shouldn't be using a regular sponge on Shabbos for washing the dishes. You should use those in the Shabbos things that they have, like the scrubbies, whatever you call it, right? That it's the water is not trapped in it. It doesn't retain the water. It's not squeezed out. If you would pick up the sponge out of a bowl of water and the water would just immediately come falling out, then that's usually the litmus test to show that, you know, you're allowed to use those sponges on Shabbos. Drying dishes. You're allowed to use a towel to dry dishes on Shabbos. The only issue would be, as far as if the towel, eventually, if you wash so many dishes and the towel will get very wet, so then eventually when you use it again, then some of the water will be squeezed out of the towel. It's very uncommon. I mean, maybe for a caterer who's has tons and tons of dishes, but probably he's not sitting there washing it by hand anyway and drying it by hand. Generally, it's not a problem with a towel because it's not going to get that wet. I mean, sometimes you'll have a towel that you've been using already for 2 weeks and you haven't, it's very wet. So yeah, so those types of towels you should avoid using on Shabbos because maybe a little bit of the water will be squeezed out. They say that if it's a long, thin wine glass, you know, they have those goblets, those long, thin ones, so you have to like really squeeze the towel into the bottom to get to the bottom, you know, that should really be avoided, to use a towel over there, because you have to really, really squeeze very hard. You know, the best will be to avoid it, maybe just wash it and hold it, turn it upside down if you don't need it for right now, just turn it upside down, the water will drip. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it's best, instead of a towel, but to use like napkins or paper towels, of course, that are cut from before Shabbos, because those are thrown out afterwards. It's not a problem of malabin, of schita over there. But again, usually we dry our dishes with towels, and you know, you are allowed to use towels. Just one last halacha, hold on 1 second, then I'll get to your question as far as washing dishes, and we'll get to other things of hachana. As far as a cleaning lady, let's say you have a guy in the house, whether it's live-in help or you specifically have a guy just for the Shabbos because you're having a simcha, you're having lots of guests. So as far as a guy doing the dishes for you on Shabbos, as you know, there's many, many halachos as far as what you're allowed to tell a guy to do on Shabbos for you, not for you. You're allowed to hint. It's a halacha that's really taken advantage of, that as long as you don't say it straight out, you know, it's okay. It's halachas that we're not going to get into right now, perhaps maybe at some future time. But as far as a cleaning lady on Shabbos, since it's not, she's not doing a malacha for you, it's just washing the dishes, which we said is not a malacha. So you are allowed to have a guy wash the dishes for you on Shabbos, even dishes that you would not be allowed to use. Because let's say I don't need these dishes at all on Shabbos, and it doesn't bother me, and it's not going to attract bugs or anything like that. A guy is allowed to use to wash the dishes for you on Shabbos, and she's even allowed to use a sponge, and she's even allowed to use hot water. Right? Another halacha, you're not allowed to use hot water on Shabbos. You wash it with cold water. But she's allowed to use hot water, which would be bishul problems, and she's allowed to use a sponge. Why? Because you didn't tell her to use hot water, and you didn't tell her to use a sponge. She used it on her own volition. She could have washed it with cold water, like you would have done if you'd be allowed to wash it, and she could have used one of those other types of sponges. She's just using the hot water and the sponge to make it easier for herself. So that's considered her own decision. She could have done it the way you would have been able to do it. So since she could have done it like that, she's allowed to do it the way, however way she wants. That's not considered as if you told her to do that, even though you totally assume she's going to use hot water and she's going to use a sponge. But since she could have done it not like that, then that is permitted.
But if you don't need the dishes.
So if you don't, it's still, you're allowed to. Still, if you don't.
How does it stay? It's the same? Because I know that when I asked Rabbi Sachs, he said Friday night, I could have a cleaning lady come. We had Shabbat Brachas Friday night in the house, and he said no problem. And then when we hosted Shabbat Brachas
by day,
Shabbos, he said she has to come after Shabbos. It was very, very
hold on. Let me just make sure.
Yeah.
No, the research that I did, I saw that even if she's doing it for after Shabbos, meaning something that you would not have been allowed to do.
In other words, you're not telling her. She just, the dishes are there and she just...
No, Rabbi Ribiat says you're even allowed to command her. Yeah. Rabbi Ribiat said, I think it was from himself, he just said it like Derech Agav, like automatically, that he could even command her to do it. The way I saw brought, I'll have to check with Rabbi Sachs. Like I said before some of you came, Rabbi Sachs approached me this morning, something that I want to clarify. But the way I saw brought, you could do. I'll check it up again, Linether. But the way I saw it, that you could, she can wash it, even if it's something that you would not have been allowed to do. That it's considered for after Shabbos. And like I said, Rabbi Rubiat even said you could even command her to do it. Yeah.
Is there what to be mapping on with the liquid soap for Nolad? Because I know they sell.
Yeah. That's one of the issues as far as Nolad is, because it's making bubbles. Because you're making bubbles, that is Nolad. That those that say that it's not a problem, because the bubbles are, they disappear within a few seconds. So then some say it's not a problem of Nolad. Some say it is a problem of Nolad. So the best is to water it down. It's also issues of Mimareach.
If you buy the cheap stuff, it's not so...
Okay, it depends what quality you buy. Right, in Eretz Yisrael, usually you don't have to water it down. I can open experience. Oh, so the soap that comes in, you're talking about the foam soap? No, not the foam soap. Okay.
Why is that an issue? Let's say you wanted to be Mimareach for an issue of Nolad. Why is it different? Because regular plain water makes bubbles. Like, why is that a difference?
No, but that's not... Those are bubbles and not... Those totally disappear within a second. The Nolad by liquid soap that you rub your hands or you rub on the dishes, those are more of a substantial bubbles. But those that say that's not substantial enough, it still disappears within a few seconds, so it's not a problem. But like you said, there are those that say you shouldn't. The best the place can say, is to try and water it down before shower.
It still makes bubbles.
Maybe less. The watering it down also helps mainly for the Mimareach. The bubbles, listen, like she said, there are those that say you shouldn't, there are those that say you can. The best is to try and avoid using it. If you need to use it, then you definitely have what to rely on.
But
to
use Purell, which doesn't make any bubbles, is the same issue as Mimareach, so that doesn't avoid the
problem. Purell, I think the Purell is the hand sanitizer, I think, are more liquidy than liquid soap.
If you
it's not.
Put a thing of Purell,
could be, depend, maybe Purell, the other, yeah. other like the CVS brands, yeah. maybe that'll be a difference. Yeah. Yeah.
Question about, can a cleaning lady put on the dishwasher? I've heard.
Electronics, she shouldn't. Anything that makes noise is what we call af shemilsa, vacuum cleaners for sure, and the place can say, I think, even dishwashers. Something that's noticeable, doesn't have to be that you could hear it outside the house, but it's something that you walk around the house and you could hear, the dishwasher, you could hear the vacuum cleaner, you could hear the washing machine, that preferably should not be done. It's also only midrabanan, even though turning on electronic device would be a deraisa, quite possibly for a yid, but for a guy, that's only midrabanan, but it's for you to do, but you shouldn't have the dishwasher going in your house on Shabbos.
And let's see, she asked me, because I had someone who came to my house and she's like, in your house, do you let me turn on the dishwasher? I'm like, I don't know, what do other people do? And she's like, well, in this house they let me.
Okay, so she's already coming to place it, right.
But
the best is not to. The best, I'll tell you, is not.
Well, I'm saying, but it's her choice.
Right.
No, but that's different. That's something that this is considered. It's worse. It's not just hachana for after Shabbos. It's something that's called afshe milsa. It's something that's noisy in the house, and
no,
it's a chilul Shabbos. It's
not noisy. I keep saying no dishwasher, and like somehow it just keeps.
Somehow she just keeps on doing it. So there's an inyan of, as far as telling goyim to do something, there's an inyan of macha, of stopping them to do it. And it's something, it's a halacha that is clear, and a lot of people take it lightly, that if a goy is doing malacha for you, then you need to protest and you need to stop them.
It's her choice. That's why I'm curious. Like, I understand a vacuum cleaner makes noise or whatever. The thing that I want to know about this dishwasher is that she, meaning like she has other, like she, it's easier for her. It's not, I don't care how she washes the dishes.
Right. But this is something that's actual Chilul Shabbos. This is something that's actual Chilul Shabbos. For a Yid to do, for a Jew to do. So when a guy is doing it, that's much more strict than if the guy is washing dishes, so she happens to use hot water, but the washing dishes itself is not Chilul Shabbos. Dishwasher is Chilul Shabbos. So that's more strict as far as if I'm allowed to let the guy, even though she's doing it for herself, but she's not really doing it for herself, she's washing the dishes for me, even though she's the one who's going to be washing the dishes either today or tonight, but it's more strict. I would have to find a explicit heter, to let that. If she already did it, you don't have to tell her to stop, to turn it off. I would imagine it's better, don't tell her turn it off because you're telling her to do another malacha. But definitely it should be made, which it makes it sound like you have been made it clear to them, you know, that she shouldn't be doing it. But you know, it's really more strict than just the regular washing dishes.
What about the incinerator if she can't continue washing the
what?
Dishes? Oh, it's like the garbage disposal.
Okay.
But so she's washing the dishes, she's allowed to, and then like the water was like piling up, and she could not continue to wash the dishes unless she put on the incinerator. And I knew it felt weird.
By the dishwasher?
No,
it's a garbage disposal in the sink. Whoa, I don't have that. It's very loud. I'm not sure, and I'd have to look into that more. I don't know the matzias exactly what that is. Do me a favor. Let me just say a few more halachos as far as achana, and then a few things we need to clarify. Okay, cleaning the table by Shal Shudis. Cleaning the table by Shal Shudis. So that's a halacha that I'm sure a lot of you know, that preferably Shal Shudis usually in most houses is eaten almost towards the end of Shabbos. You know, technically you could eat Shal Shudis early in the afternoon, but usually we eat Shal Shudis, the third meal of Shabbos, towards the end of Shabbos. If it doesn't bother you whatsoever that that the table is, you know, there's dirty plates on the table, whether it's plastic plates or regular plates, things don't bother me, and I'm just cleaning it to get a head start on my after Shabbos cleanup, then that should be avoided on Shabbos. I shouldn't clear the table on Shal Shudis before I say Baruch Hamad Mekodesh Chol, and before the however many minutes my husband tells me to wait, but before that time, I should not clear the table from Shal Shudis if it doesn't really bother me, because that is considered preparing for after Shabbos. Like we said before, if it really bothers you, so then you're allowed to. Let's say something is going to get spoiled. Now again, by Shal Shudis, I don't know exactly what's going to get spoiled. You know, we're just going to wait another half hour, 45 minutes. It shouldn't be so much of a big deal. But like we said before, something that's going to get spoiled, let's say I you know, it's milk that I take out, and now I want to clean the table, and the milk I really feel is going to get spoiled. So then, if it's something that's going to get spoiled, or something is outside in the rain, and I want to take it in, even though I'm not going to use it on Shabbos, I just see that my hat I left outside in the rain, or something that I don't want it to get ruined in the rain, but I left a book outside in the rain, so I'm allowed to take it in, because something that's going to get ruined or spoiled, so then that's not considered, oh, I'm not going to use it till after Shabbos, so then I have to take it out, so that's considered that it's going to get ruined now, and then I'm doing it for something now. Ice cubes. Even if you assume that you're allowed to make ice cubes on Shabbos, which also gets into molad and nolad, you're making something, so there are plenty of paiskin that say you're allowed to make ice cubes from water on Shabbos. However, keep in mind, if let's say Shabbos day, you take out the ice cube tray and you finish up all the ice cubes, so now I'm holding this empty ice cube tray. What am I gonna do with it? I have a great idea. I'll fill it up with water and put it back in the freezer. So if you're not going to be using those ice cubes till after Shabbos, which if it's by Shabbos day, which is quite possible, you're not going to be using these ice cubes till after Shabbos, till next Shabbos, then you have to keep in mind you're not allowed to fill up the ice cube tray with water to make ice cubes if it's for after Shabbos. If it's Friday night and you quite possibly you're going to use these ice cubes Shabbos day, then it would be permitted. But keep in mind, it's not just, oh, I just might as well put it back, we'll fill it up with water and put it back. You have to keep in mind that's preparing for after Shabbos. If there's an act that is totally non-evident that it's for after Shabbos, it's totally not at all recognizable that it's for after Shabbos, then it is permitted. The classic example is you're allowed to take a Shabbos afternoon nap, even if the reason why you're doing it is because you know you need to stay up late Matzah Shabbos. Meaning, let's say you're going out Matzah Shabbos, you have Mlava Malka, you're driving somewhere, and you want to have kayach. Usually you don't sleep Shabbos afternoon because you have to wash your kids, and you're so nice and you let your husband sleep. So, but this week, it's my turn to sleep because tonight I need to drive somewhere, and that is permitted because taking a Shabbos afternoon nap is considered something normal. So since it's not evident that you're doing it after Shabbos, it's not an act that you're doing that's evident that it's after Shabbos, that is permitted. However, you're not allowed to say that you're doing it for after Shabbos. You're not allowed to say, no, I'm sleeping this afternoon because I need to have strength for tonight, so I'm going to sleep this afternoon so I can have more strength for tonight. Once you say that, you gave up your nap. That's it. So you should know these halachas. So then you should, because your husband may know the halacha, and then he's going to say, ha ha, you know, okay, I'm going to sleep. So you have to be careful. Anything that you do that's, we're permitted because it's not an evident act, I'm going to have to wait for questions, I'm sorry. Then you're not allowed to say that you're doing it for after Shabbos. You're allowed to take a Shabbos afternoon walk towards the other side of town. Why? Because I know my car is there because I drove there before Shabbos, which I don't know what I did about lich benching, because after you bench lift, you're not allowed to drive, but only for the purpose of a mitzvah. Okay, we're not getting into that. But let's say you want to be somewhere after Shabbos, so you're allowed to take a Shabbos afternoon stroll over there, because it's normal to take a walk Shabbos afternoon. But you're not allowed to say, I am walking there in order so I could be there immediately after Shabbos. That's not allowed. You're allowed to do something that's normal, but as long as you don't speak it out. Hanging up your clothing for after Shabbos. Let's say you finished wearing something Shabbos day. You wore something to go to shul, and then you wore it for the Suda, and then Shabbos afternoon you want to get into something more casual, more comfortable, so you're allowed to hang it up. So if it's going to get ruined, so we said, if it's really going to ruin the clothing that you just place it on the bed, so then that's considered that, you know, something for now. But if because that's not considered a disgrace for doing for after Shabbos, because I'm taking care of something that would get ruined now. But if it's just because, you know, I want to get a head start on my Matzah Shabbos cleaning up, so then again that would not be allowed. Folding on the creases is a different issue, which we're not going to discuss. You're bringing something to shul. Let's say the laning Megillah Esther Matzah Shabbos, or the laning Eicha Matzah Shabbos. So I want to bring something to shul Shabbos afternoon. So I have it there on Matzah Shabbos. That's not allowed. Once you bring it, maybe you should learn from it a little bit, so then you used it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be doing something on Shabbos for afterwards. Making your bed, keep in mind when you make your bed, why are you making your bed? If you're making your bed after you woke up Shabbos morning or after your nap, it's because you like your bed is always made. The second you get out of it, it bothers you that the bed is messy, the room is messy, whether guests are going to see it or not, it bothers you. Okay, so if it honestly bothers you, then you're allowed to. If it's just doing it because, you know, it's for after Shabbos because someone's coming over Matzah Shabbos, you don't want them to see it Matzah Shabbos, so then again, that's not allowed. Can you get your kids in pajamas before Havdalah when you know they're going to go to sleep after Havdalah? Okay, it's a good question, right? You're getting your kids in pajamas before Havdalah. Before Shabbos is not over yet. I'm getting my kids in pajamas, but they're going to sleep after Havdalah. So this Rav Moshe does have a tshuva about, and it could be it's Shalom Bayis issues as well, but so Rav Moshe says the following. He says that you find a lot of times that, you know, you don't just get your kids in pajamas and then boom, boom, you put them to sleep. It doesn't work like that. A lot of times they need to run around in their pajamas, maybe they have a bedtime story, and, you know, they it gets them used to the concept that, okay, it's time to go to sleep. So Rav Moshe says, if that's the way you normally do it, that you get your kids in pajamas, you know, a decent amount of time before they need to actually get into bed, then that's permitted. He says, because that's not considered as if I'm preparing for after Shabbos. That's considered like, for now, it's normal for now, since I know they need to go to sleep in an hour. I get them in pajamas an hour before they go to sleep. So then that's part of the process. The process is starting now already. The putting them to sleep process is starting now. So therefore, he says that would be permitted. But Rav Moshe warns, he says, but you have to be careful. If you don't do it like that, and you always just get your kids right away in the pajamas, and that's the best way you know for your kids, just to get them in pajamas and put them straight into bed, because once they start playing in their pajamas, they can't stop for whatever reason, so then you can't do it. Punkt. Today, you want to do it to get a head start, because you know you're going to be busy after Shabbos, cleaning up and things like that. You have to be honest with yourself. If you're doing it because that's the way you normally do it, and you just want them to have some downtime while they're wearing pajamas, then that will be permitted. But But if you're doing it just to get a head start, then Moshe says that would not be permitted. Another very important halacha, something that is just totally considered absolutely natural, then that is permitted on Shabbos. Meaning, let's say I take a drink of juice or soda, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos. Okay, today, nowadays, 4 o'clock is Shabbos is almost over. But let's say earlier in the afternoon, and nothing's going to get spoiled or anything like that. So I'm holding my cup of juice, I pour it into the cup, I drink it. Now I'm holding this cup of juice, this bottle of juice, a bottle of soda. So what do I do with it? So I put it back in the fridge, right, of course. But I'm not using this bottle of soda till after Shabbos. So is that considered hachana? So the halacha is that if it's something that's absolutely, totally normal, then that's not a problem of hachana, even though you're going to be doing it for after Shabbos. If you go ahead and clean the table, like by Shalosh Shodos, like we were talking about before, that's cleaning the table. That's like a special act of cleaning the table. But just to put something back in the fridge without getting spoiled. Spoiled, we said, anyways, is permitted. But even if it's not going to get spoiled, just to put naturally something back in the fridge, or to put a book back on the shelf, or put a sitter back on the shelf. Shabbos morning, I'm going to daven. Let's say I daven mincha Shabbos afternoon. So where do I put my sitter? I put it back on the shelf, of course. So this way, when the next time I need my sitter, it's going to be on the shelf where it's supposed to be. Oh, but I'm not going to be using it till after Shabbos. But something that's totally, absolutely normal, like just putting something back in the fridge, or just putting a book back on the shelf, that we say is allowed on Shabbos, even though you're going to be not using it again till after Shabbos. Again, it's not to get confused with an act of cleaning the table. You go ahead and clean the table, that's a special act of cleaning the table. So that's only allowed if it bothers you or if something's going to get spoiled. But just something that's just totally, absolutely normal, then that's allowed. A nap, we say, is also considered similar to cleaning the table. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains that a nap, you have to make a conscious decision to go nap. So then even though that's not considered totally normal, just a conscious decision, so that's allowed only for if you don't say it, because that's not evident. Just one thing I want to clarify, just a couple of things in the last 2 minutes, and then I'll take your questions, Blue Nether, afterwards. Rabbi Sachs approached me this morning about breaking a cake that's in a shape of a Sefer Torah, or a Tefillin, or a gingerbread man, or a Shlissel Challah, or something like that. So just to make clear, what we said last week was the following. We said that to cut such a cake is permitted. Okay? We said the only time it's forbidden to bite into it, we said anyways is permitted. But the only time you're also allowed to cut it beforehand, and to break it beforehand, is if there's two things. There's lettering, or a picture, on top of a backing. Meaning, so if you have letters on top of a cake, but if you don't have any frosting, any ink on top of something else, and there's no backing, meaning it's just a shape of a key, or shape of a snake, or shape of a Sefer Torah, shape of a tefillin, or shape of a gingerbread man, that is just a form of a shape that you're allowed to break up on your plate even before you put it into your mouth. That is permitted. The only time it is forbidden is when there's letterings or a picture, a flower or something, on top of something else, on top of a cake or a cupcake, or on top of a frosting or something like that. That you're not allowed to cut up with a fork, spoon, or knife beforehand. We said you're allowed to bite into it, but that you're not allowed to cut beforehand, because that's what we call a genuine ksiva. Okay, there must, maybe, perhaps I wasn't clear last week. I apologize if it wasn't clear, but that is something I just want to clarify. Something else about Bora that we spoke about 2 weeks ago as far as the pickle juice. Could be I wasn't clear, or could be I said it wrong and I made a mistake. I just want to clarify. We discussed as far as you open up a jar, we discussed how we open up jars, but you want to get rid of the juice from the pickles. Right? So we said that you're not allowed to drain the juice with the cover, because that's using a kli. Rabbi Yashav says that's not allowed, that's using a kli, and you're not allowed to do bora with a utensil. So you also, if you want to get rid of the juice, you're not allowed to take this pickle jar and pour out the juice. Because even though you're not using a utensil, I'm just pouring it out, but you're getting rid of the bad from the good, which is also not allowed. So that's also not allowed. What would be allowed is, let's say you need the pickle juice for your corn salad recipe, so you need the juice. I'm not going to throw out the pickles. Of course, I'll eat the pickles also later. But I need the juice, and I'm pouring it into my corn salad, so there I'm getting the good from the bad. So there I'm allowed to pour it out, not with a utensil to pour the pickle juice into the corn salad, but because you're not allowed to use a utensil anyway. But you're allowed to pour the desired juice out, because it's cold, you're not using a kli, you're just pouring it out, and you're using it for immediate use, right? Also, if you're using it for immediate use. So when we said you get out the juice, not if the juice is what's not desired, okay? Otherwise, you'd have to take the pickles out of the can if the pickle's what you want, and then you could pour out the juice into the sink.
What about with tuna? Like, you can't take the tuna out of the juice.
So what do you want? What do you want to do? You want to get out the oil? You want the any grease that's inside? So over there, so if you don't want it, so that could be a problem, right? If you're squeezing out the oil, then you're getting out what you don't want from what you do want. That could be, you know, that could be a problem. Be a problem. Could be you could dump the whole thing out and just place it on a napkin and it would squeeze out like that. But you know, to remove the bad from the good is not allowed. Also, as far as peelers, somebody was listening to my shiurim on TorahAnytime.com. If anyone wants to TorahAnytime.com, and I appreciate all that they do, but somebody from Manhattan was listening to my shiur, and he made just one correction. This may not make a big difference to you people, but just because the other people listening, when we spoke about peelers, you know, we said you shouldn't be using a peeler on Shabbos, even though it's because it's a kli, it's a specialized utensil for peeling. So it could be I said that Rav Moshe Feinstein is the one that says you're not allowed to use it. It could be I was mistaken with that. There are plenty of other paiskim that say you're not allowed to use a peeler. If anything, perhaps Rav Moshe is the one that says you are allowed to use a peeler. It's not brought exactly in the Igros Moshe, and from what I saw in the Igros Moshe, it would make it seem as if you're not allowed to. However, they say a story that Rav Moshe says you are allowed to use a peeler. He says it's the same as a knife. Perhaps yeah, perhaps not. I'm going to tell you that plenty of paiskim say not to use a peeler on Shabbos, so therefore you should not use a peeler. It's said over in the name of Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe does let a peeler. So if somebody uses a peeler, you can't scream at them perhaps, but ask your personal Rav if you should use a peeler on Shabbos. Many Paiskim say it's not allowed, and even Rav Moshe, it's a story said over. It's surprising to me, but the fact that it's surprising to me is irrelevant, because if Rav Moshe said it, Rav Moshe said it. But leave it at that. It's not. If I said Rav Moshe doesn't let, perhaps Rav Moshe is the one that would permit. There are plenty of other Paiskim that do let. Whipped cream, we said, is not allowed. We're talking about Memareach, but many Paiskim say as far as Nolad. Whipped cream out of a pressurized can, many Paiskim say, is not allowed on Shabbos. Those orange juice cans, we were talking the first week, those orange, you open it up, so we didn't have a good word for it except for a thigamajig. So that tie that you take off, that could quite possibly be a problem of Kareah. I spoke to Tam Chacham about that, and he says, yeah, he doesn't open those on Shabbos. Open it up before Shabbos. There's no way to do it in a destructive way. You know, that's Kareah. It's solid, and you know, that could be a problem. That's also Korea. You know, you're tearing Rama through. Or maybe that's a destructive way. Perhaps. Okay. Then you have other problems with Makabu Patish. But perhaps it's a Makabu Patish. Right. We said anyway. It could be besides Makabu Patish. If it's a disposable thing, you know, perhaps you'd have what to rely on. But in general, yeah. You know, Makabu Patish is also a reason. Okay.